Hello, everyone. Welcome to Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with me, Dr. Mary Angela McGuire, on Transformation Talk Radio. During this show, I'll help you practice mindfulness. Most of the principles of mindfulness are very simple, but putting those principles into practice can be devilishly difficult. I'm here to help you become a student of your own mind. I'll share ideas, insights, and tools you can use to release yourself from fearful and negative thinking and live from a place of clarity and confidence. Please join me as we challenge ourselves to change. Nothing But Now starts now. Hi, everyone. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. Thank you so much for joining me today. So as I say, you know, the purpose of the show is to be aware of mindfulness and to engage it in our daily lives. And really, the show itself is, and I hope will be, a practice of mindfulness in itself for you. And by that, I mean that it's a space where you can bring your attention and awareness to the present moment, to give yourself time to relax into this moment and allow yourself to find places in your experience that resonate with the topics that we talk about on the show, and therefore deepen your understanding of yourself as you become a student of your own mind. My topics are intended to support people on their journey toward greater mindfulness, and mindfulness is bringing our attention to the present moment without judgment, a simple goal that can be difficult to achieve. But its value is that mindfulness practices bring us greater internal peace. And regardless, and bringing greater internal, having greater internal peace within ourselves means that we can bring greater peace into the world. And regardless of what's going on in your life, I think we can all agree that being a source of more peace in the world today is an aspiration worth striving for. So one of the things that can be a challenge to mindfulness and that we're going to talk about this week, it's a challenge to the desire to stay present to the moment. It's certainly a challenge to inner peace. And that is the experience most of us have of a kind of constant stream of internal self-talk. Some people would call it intrapersonal communication, communication within the self. It is self-talk. It is voices in our head, right? The voices that we hear throughout the day. And they can be the opposite of peaceful. There are voices that are often at war with each other and that are working hard to disrupt us, to keep us from accessing our authentic self and our deepest self. Now, we've talked about these voices in the past episodes, and we've used metaphors to describe them, metaphors I learned from my work with Martha Beck. And the two most prominent voices that we often are aware of are the voice of a dictator, it's the voice of constant criticism, the voice to which we can never live up to, and the voice of what she calls the wild child. I think of it as the pure need that is normal that we all have, but that can sometimes overwhelm us. And it's as simple as, I need a nap, I need a hug, I need a, you know, I need some basic needs around my essential self, actually, but I need to belong, I need to feel connected, I need to feel loved. And sometimes that neediness can be overwhelming. And it makes sense that those two voices are really at war with each other. Because if what the wild child says is, I need a nap, of course, that's got the dictator right on topic, right? Ready to say, no, you don't. You're lazy. You're not working hard enough. So they are really at odds, and they can drown out everything else. So today we're going to talk about those voices. We're going to talk a little bit about noticing where they come from, a little bit about what their impact is, right? What's the impact on us when those voices are really taking over our experience? We're going to talk about the idea that, you know, we are not our thoughts and how that plays into this. And then another topic that I think most people come to in my work as a life coach, when we start to really question and notice those voices and say, okay, I can notice them. Okay, I can agree. I can try to agree that they are not me. But what about the idea that I am not by any means perfect, right? So am I always in the presence of those voices if I am trying to learn more about myself, if I'm trying to improve myself, if I'm trying to plan, right? If I'm trying to do a good job or have really honest, legitimate questions about how I'm operating in the world. So that's our final topic today, is how do we discern between a legitimate sense of self-inquiry And those voices that are just there to sort of make our lives miserable and can be the cause of suffering. And then what do we do about all that? So in order to cover all that ground, it's important to be in a calm state of mind, right? So that's why we work on breathing in the show. And we're always going to start with this breathing exercise because it helps to bring peace, calmness, clarity, and that's important. So what we do is we take recognition of our breath by paying attention to the inhalation, pausing at the top, and then trying to make the exhalation a little bit longer. And we use a technique described by mindfulness educator Lori Cameron called three deep breaths. And with that first breath, we want to just pay attention to the sensation of the air entering and exiting our body. With the second breath, we want to pay attention to any place in our body where we're feeling tension and relax. And then with that third breath, we want to set our intention for this moment. What do we need right now to be aware, present, and without judgment? Okay, so first breath, just pay attention to your breathing. Second breath, relax. And then third breath, what's your intention for this moment? Thanks for joining me in that. As I probably mentioned before, that's a great breathing exercise when you're about to walk into a situation where there might be tension or conflict. If you wake up in the middle of the night and are struggling to get back to sleep, it can be helpful in that situation. And it's one of the things I want to point out about it is if I look at my watch, how long does it take? Maybe 20 seconds, maybe a little bit less. And thinking about giving yourself permission to have 20 seconds to prepare for a challenging situation, to set yourself in a moment before you enter home at the end of the day or leave for work in the morning or go to work or go to the grocery store or wherever it might be that there can be some strain or stress in your life, will you give yourself 20 seconds to breathe three times, to set yourself in motion and to be calm? So today we're talking about inner voices, and those inner voices do not like breathing exercises, right? They're gonna tell you, don't do it. You don't have time. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Get to the store, get to work, get to school, get, move, 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 right? So they can be the cause of suffering in our lives. And as I've said, one of the things we want to think about is how do we discern the difference between those voices and our more authentic self, which may be on a legitimate, let's hope it's your help, on a legitimate inquiry, self-inquiry about to in order to have greater knowledge of yourself, of where your mind goes in difficult situations, of what it would take to bring more mindfulness into your life. So I think about this idea of voices. I think one thing that's really important about them is that we can certainly think about the most extreme and dramatic examples of the ways in which negative and fearful thinking dominates our lives, and that voice in our head that's filled with criticism. But it can also be fairly benign, but constant. And so that's the first example I have for you, is a way in which I have noticed this in my own life, and how I find it to be kind of benign, but just part of a pattern that is unhelpful. So, you know, it can be something as simple as I trip on my way up the stairs and I say, you idiot, why are you so clumsy? Right? And once I came to notice how often I did that, it helped me let go of that and to do it a little bit less. And it wasn't because it was ruining my day and setting me into a downward spiral. It's because it was just a kind of ordinary negative self-talk that wasn't very useful to me, that it didn't help me. It didn't make me feel better about myself. It's a great example of something I would say to myself, but I would never say to anyone else, right? And that sometimes is one of those key discernment keys. Is this something I would say to someone else? If not, why will I talk to myself that way? So that's the kind of benign example that we're talking about that can really start to build up. And so becoming a student of your own mind is starting to notice all of those routine ways in which you talk to yourself and all of the times that it might be quite negative. And it's repeated. It's the same kind of negative talk all the time, clumsy, you're not careful, that kind of thing. So we're going to take our first break. And when we come back, we're going to get a little bit deeper into this idea of these voices, What are they? Where are they coming from? What's their impact on us, both physically, mentally, spiritually, etc.? And where do we go from there once we notice them? Okay, I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. See you after the break.
Are you traveling most of your day? Do you want to take Transformation Talk Radio with you anywhere you go? Well, guess what? There's an app for that. Just go to the App Store on your Apple device or the Google Play Store on your Android and search Transformation Talk Radio. Catch all of our live shows no matter where you are. Thanks for listening.
Are you tired of being tired? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the adrenal glands, the workhorse of the body? They are the means by which you position yourself in life for whatever comes your way. Tiny but mighty, producing hormones the body uses to promote energy and vitality. These adrenals determine how you respond to stress, and when depleted, the body loses its ability to function powerfully when we need it most. The much-needed adrenaline or epinephrine is not available for emergency situations. Cortisone and cortisol, the longer-acting anti-stress adrenal hormones, can also become depleted due to the pace of our everyday lives. We overwork and undernutrition our most powerful ally that helps us to live the lives we desire. We are able to determine the optimum function of the adrenals and put your system back in balance. Contact us today to feel powerfully energized at 888-777-4232 or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Have you heard of drawing a longer line? A teacher drew a line on the board and asked her students how to make the line shorter without changing or erasing it. No one knew the answer, so she drew a longer line right next to the first one. You can be just like that teacher. If you lack self-confidence, you can draw a longer line. Think of someone you love, someone who inspires you, and ask yourself, what would they do? Remember, you don't have to change the fear or try and get rid of it. A bigger thought, a larger feeling, has the power to release you from the limits that undermine your confidence. Then you're free to take inspired action, to be your best self. Hi, I'm Sarah Main, co-host of Conscious Confidence Radio. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Pat, on transformationtalkradio.com. To learn more about how to transform your life with conscious confidence, go to my website, consciousconfidence.com.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. And what we're talking about today are those voices that cause suffering in our life, those internal voices, right? Not the person who yells at you in the grocery store if that happens to you, or anything that happens out there in the material world, but those voices in our own head, voices we've internalized, maybe from the culture, maybe from family, that are causing us suffering because they are either the voice of pure need that's aching and angling and trying to get basic needs met, but in a way that is more perhaps not healthy, not happy, not creating happiness in your life. And also that voice of incredible criticism, constant criticism, unrelenting, unsatisfiable. So I think of this in some routine ways. It's not always particularly dramatic, but I think it's important to notice the places where this does happen that might seem kind of benign, but that add up over the course of the day, right? The cumulative impact of a kind of negative self-talk. So I like to cook. My mother was a very good cook. Cooking is something that's valued in my family. I didn't cook for many years, but I do now most of the cooking in my home, and I enjoy it. And I have a thing that I've noticed when I'm chopping vegetables, and I think really the two that come to mind are apples and onions. They're sort of similar, so I think this is why. So when I chop an apple, I do it kind of the same way every time, pretty much the same thing with the onion. And almost invariably, I think of my two of my older brothers when I do this task. I have two of my older brothers have worked in the restaurant industry almost all their lives, literally since they were teenagers. You know, when they started out as bussers and dishwashers, they've become servers and managers and, you know, regional representatives and district managers for large food service organizations. So they've been in kitchens a long time. And they've been in my kitchen many times, usually around a holiday meal. So they would come into the kitchen often to chat with me. And if I'm chopping an onion or an apple, they're going to have some feedback for me, right, about the most efficient way to do that. And one of the things I find is funny about it is one brother has a kind of teacherly quality where he wants to teach me how to do it and even bought me a great knife to help me. And the other one wants to just say, hey, I'm happy to do it myself. So I think that's kind of funny that they have such different styles and approaches. But either way, their voices are in my head whenever I'm chopping an apple or an onion, because I know I'm actually not doing it the way they would like me to do it. I'm not doing it in the most efficient manner possible. And so almost every time I'm engaged in this task, and this is basically daily, well, chopping one of those two things or something similar, I have this voice of criticism that I have assigned to my brothers saying, you know, you could do this better. This is not exactly the way you should be doing this. This isn't quite right. And again, it's 30 seconds. It's a minute. It doesn't last long. It's almost imagistic, right? It's a passing thought almost, but it's negative and it's critical and it's at me every time. It says you don't know how to do this. So I want you to be thinking about what are some places in the course of your ordinary day where you notice a voice arising telling you you're doing it wrong. And what's going on with you when that happens? So I think about my apple chopping experience, and one thing I notice is that I tense up a little as soon as that thought pops into my head. I can feel a little bit of tension in my body. And that's how most of us react to criticism, right? Get tense, you know, fist up perhaps a little bit. Another thing I notice is that it puts a kind of a negative equation in my head with my brothers, who are lovely people. And, you know, they're not criticizing me, right? Even when they're in my kitchen talking to me about how I chop things, they're really just trying to be helpful, right? But I've now got this association of them being these critical voices in my life. And that's an interesting thing if you think about what energy does that bring into my relationship with them if in my own mind they are the voices of criticism. In some ways, I think it's pretty unfair, but you know, I don't want to get mad at myself for doing that, but I just want to say, you know, it does have an impact when I think about the whole range of what's happening when we have those voices in our head that are so critical, so quick to criticize. So, you know, for myself, one of the things I did when I started to really notice this voice was there is I worked on reality. I like reality. Well, I don't always like reality, but I think it's helpful to be accepting and to take it for what it is. And so if I look at it in terms of evidence and reality, one thing I can say to myself is I'm not a food service professional, nor do I aspire to be, right? When I'm chopping vegetables, I'm almost never in a hurry. Right? I'm lucky. I have time in my day to do food prep in a way and at a pace that's comfortable for me. When my brothers were working and the way that they think about food preparation, it was all about time management and efficiency, right? They were teaching people to do things in the shortest amount of time possible to maximize their efforts, etc. That's what they were bringing into the conversation with me. They weren't necessarily trying to impose it on me. So why am I in turn trying to impose it on myself? Why am I using their reality to judge my experience? And why am I still holding on to it, right? So that's when I think about how do I address a voice that is causing me even a little bit of suffering, even a little bit of negativity in a relationship. One of the things I can do is bring the truth or the evidence of the truth to that situation. What's really happening here? Am I in a hurry? Am I trying to maximize my efficiency in chopping vegetables? No, I am not. Therefore, can I let this go? So when we think about that, the question of how do we discern, you know, the voice of, hey, could I do this better, from you never do anything right, we want to ask ourselves some questions. So if you're thinking about, and I hope you are, some places that you notice in the course of your day where your self-talk tends to be sort of routinely negative, it might be about how much work you think you're getting done, or whether or not your parenting skills are up to snuff. Maybe it's about your work habits and how have you been thorough in thinking things through, right? When I talk to clients, I notice that these are very, very common themes, that there is that voice is often the voice of saying, you're not doing X correctly in terms of relationship or role. You're not the right kind of daughter. You're not the right kind of employee. You're not living up to these kind of unspoken, perhaps, expectations of yourself. And so we want to ask, whose voice is that? Can you start to identify that voice? Is it the culture? Is it what you see online? I was talking to a friend the other day, and she was telling me about, she was talking about parenting and the challenges of parenting. And she said that there's someone she follows online, and this something that this person had said really stuck in her mind. And she was just using it as a kind of battering ram against herself. And finally she said, I should stop following that person. And you know, aren't we both saying to ourselves, well, duh, of course you should stop following that person, because that person's comments that are very general and more about her than you are really bothering you. But we lose track of that, don't we? You know, for our own selves, right? I can say to her, yeah, duh, quit following that person. But do I quit following those voices in my head? Not always. So how do I know whose voice I'm listening to? If it's some legitimate self-inquiry, or is it that voice of the critic? And I think there are a couple of questions we can ask ourselves. And one is, how does that voice talk to you? Does that voice speak to you in a tone that is angry or freaked out? Or is it a voice that is loving and concerned for you and calm, right? So one of the first things you can notice about those voices is, what is the tone? What is the attitude? What is the emotional energy or tone that they bring to their communication with you? I think the more I'm aware of that voice being highly judgmental, angry, freaked out, panicking, etc., that's a clue, right? That's a red flag. I think this is not the voice of my authentic self. I think this is the voice of the internal critic. What's the voice talking about, right? Is it actually working from evidence of what's happening, or is it catastrophic thinking, right? Worrying about things that have not yet happened and may never happen. I was talking with a client who has a very big project coming up in his work, and it's a project that requires a lot of planning, right? A lot of moving pieces. And my client is the person managing all those moving pieces, making sure that they're happening. So it's not surprising that he asks himself kind of on a daily basis, right? There's probably a literal checklist as well as a mental checklist of making sure he's thought about each piece of this project from as many angles as possible to anticipate what could go wrong and account for it, plan A, plan B, plan C, all of those things. And all of that can be really important, right? That's how we get work done. That's how we get work done well, right? Breaking it down into the smallest parts and making to-do lists and thinking things through. But then things turned a little, and he noticed that what was also happening was that that voice was repetitive. It was asking the same questions over and over and over again. Have you done this? Have you done this? Have you done this? Right? And wasn't actually working with evidence, because the evidence is the to-do list, right? The evidence is all the stuff he's getting done. The evidence is the email exchanges, right? The memos written, the vendors paid, all of that stuff. That's the evidence that he's done his job and is in the process of doing his job to prepare for this big event. The voice of the critic, the voice that is not there in a loving way, is kind of freaked out, super judgmental, and saying the same thing over and over and over again. And also sometimes starting questions with or comments with, what if, right? And then kind of thinking of all the worst possible things that could happen. Now there's planning and there's that kind of catastrophic thinking. And that's what we want to start to notice, is How does that voice talk to me? And what does that voice talk about? Is it talking about reality, or is it talking about what if, the possible world, well beyond the realm of what's probably likely to happen? Okay, so we're going to take a break and we're going to talk more when we come back about what are some strategies that we can use to address these voices when they come up inevitably in our lives. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I'll see you after the break.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about maximum medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Searching. Are you searching? Looking for a sign? I'm looking for a sign. A message you need to hear? Is anybody out there? From the great unknown, from the most mysterious place that is the most familiar to your soul and the depths of who you are. The universe put someone here to talk to, someone God gave a blessing to that you may find insight with. TheAngelLady.net. 1-800-323-1790. 1-800-323-1790.
Do you need a makeover on your finances? Do you have more month at the end of your money? Do you wonder where all your money goes? Donna at Palmore has been helping people since 2015 gain control of money so they can live out their purpose. If you need help or know someone that does, go to ProverbsFinancialCoaching.com to book your free 30-minute consultation.
Break your snooze button habits for good with the Soul Stretching Sisters on the I Am Power Hour with me, Terry J. Walker.
And me, Dr. Pat, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Pump up your spiritual muscle as we share stories,
aspire higher,
and live a whole lot larger
to help you unleash your powered up,
pumped up, I Am Soul Stretching Success.
Anything can happen when we take to the airwaves.
And all things become possible during the I Am Power Hour.
Are you traveling most of your day? Do you want to take Transformation Talk Radio with you anywhere you go? Well, guess what? There's an app for that. Just go to the App Store on your Apple device or the Google Play Store on your Android and search Transformation Talk Radio. Catch all of our live shows no matter where you are. Thanks for listening.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Mary Angela McGuire. And so we are talking today about the voices that cause suffering. Yep, not the voices on the television, not the voices from our past necessarily, but the or our family or the culture, but the ones we've internalized, maybe from the media, maybe from our family, maybe from the culture, but the ones we've internalized and that seem to have a life of their own sometimes. And we're talking about how we discern between relevant and legitimate self-inquiry and planning and feeling good about the work that we do in the world and our relationships with others, being willing to be self-reflective and think about our behavior and strive to be our best selves. And that kind of critical or needy voice that is unrelenting. And we've talked about, first of all, being able to identify those places in our life, even ordinary small moments in the day where our self-talk is extremely negative. And we know it when we can ask ourselves, is this something I would say to someone else, especially someone I love or someone whose feelings I care about, right? Someone I don't want to hurt. If I'm not willing to say this except in anger or in a desire to actually hurt, then I know I'm in a place where I am either angry with myself, but I'm certainly trying to hurt myself. And really, there's no good that comes from that, I have to tell you. You know it, we experience it, but it's hard to remember that that kind of unrelenting self-criticism does not improve us, doesn't make us better people. So we want to be able to discern that voice by noticing how it speaks to us. Does it speak in an angry, freaked out way? Or is it a voice of love, a calm, loving kindness? What does it talk about? Does it talk about reality, what's actually happening in the world and what we're actually doing? Does it give us credit and acknowledge our accomplishments, whether they're large or small? Or is it always saying we could do better, we haven't done enough, we're not doing it right? Is the content kind of a familiar litany, right? It's always the same thing over and over again. You're not smart enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not fast enough. You're not good enough, right? You're failing as a daughter, a husband, a wife, a parent, a worker, whatever, right? A constant same thing over and over and over again. I think that's when we know. Those are the comments. That's the conversation of the voice of criticism and not our authentic self. We're not being helpful to ourselves when we're doing that. And the other thing I think we notice about those voices is that they produce tension in our body and anxiety in our body and upset, right? There's a physical response when we're in that presence of those voices that's not very positive. But it's also, we might have a feeling of being under surveillance, that sense that I'm always being watched, right? There's me, and then there's the me who, not me, but that voice in my head that is always watching me, looking for a way to criticize me. And one of the things I think it's important to remember about these voices, especially the critic, is that it cannot be satisfied, right? There's an illusion that if I'm just good enough, if I just do this well enough, if I just meet some, frankly, usually mysterious and unknowable expectation, that I'll silence that voice. That doesn't silence the voice, right? Because no matter what we do, especially that voice of self-criticism can find a way to criticize us, right? That's its goal. That's its life. It's trying to stay relevant. It's trying to stay present. And so it cannot be satisfied, because if it's satisfied, then we don't have, then it ceases to exist. So getting rid of that voice, I don't actually think for most of us is possible in terms of entirely eliminating it from our experience. But I do think we can reduce its impact. And the first thing is, very Wizard of Ozzy, right? Looking behind the curtain, seeing that it is a voice, that it is not God, that it is not any kind of supernatural or omniscient power in our lives. It is simply something that we've internalized through our consumption of media, through our presence in family dynamics, through our awareness of social conventions and other people's expectations. We've internalized it and we've turned it on ourselves, right? So what do we do? And that first big leap in terms of addressing this is giving ourselves permission to notice that voice is present, right? Giving ourselves permission to say that unrelenting, unsatisfiable, critical voice is not me. And that in itself is a very powerful step, because it means that it is no longer simply overtaking you and warring with that child voice, but that you are, as we've talked about before, you are the witness. You are the observer of those voices. And we struggle to allow ourselves to see that, because one of the things that I've heard so many clients talk about this when we get to this point in our conversations, to say, what's the challenge and what's wrong with acknowledging that those voices are not you? Yeah. Usually there's a silence and then there's a comment about, it's letting myself off the hook. It's taking the easy way out. And that really couldn't be further from the truth. So for a couple of reasons. One, It's the unrelenting critical voice does actually not improve us. It might get us to a certain place, but at a very high cost to our psyches, right? So it's not a sustainable way to be your best self, to be always in the presence and motivated by that critical voice. It's also just, it's unsustainable in that respect. And there's the work of being mindful is actually hard work, right? It takes a lot of effort to really become a student of your own mind and to be able to be honest with yourself, to live in what the integrity that Martha Beck talks about of, you know, never a false note, never a false smile. That's effort. So the idea that being kind and loving towards yourself is giving yourself a break or taking the easy way out, it might feel better because it's not that unrelenting criticism, but it takes an enormous amount of effort on our part to do it, to actualize it. It's not a simple strategy. So the big leap is giving yourself permission to notice those voices. I think the second thing is to perhaps to give them a voice, a costume, a character, so that they are more clearly separated from you. And then another thing that I think can be very important is really paying attention to the impact on your body. So when those voices carry us away, I think we move into a very disembodied place, right? We're all kind of all in our heads. This is what happens when we drive someplace and we don't even remember getting there, or a whole afternoon passes and we don't know how we spent it. We're probably in our heads and probably not in a way that's super kind to us. It's probably that kind of unrelenting criticism that's happening. So we want to climb back into our body, right? Ask, you know, Ruth King in her wonderful book, Mindful of Race, talks about the questions we can ask ourselves when we realize what's happening and we climb back into our body and we say, how is this body feeling? Where is the breath? Can I be more at ease in this moment? Can I be more at ease in this moment? That is a critical question to ask ourselves when we've been carried away by those difficult voices. And of course, how do we replace those voices? If we're not going to talk to ourselves in that mean-spirited or highly needy but unrelenting way, what's the alternative? Well, non-judging awareness, right? An acceptance of this is how the world is. This is who I am in the world. And I'm going to be kind to myself about that. Doesn't mean I'm not looking for change, evolution, etc. But I can live with a level of acceptance to say I'm okay. Loving kindness, both for ourselves and others, compassion for ourselves and others. That's the cure in a way to that unrelenting critical voice. And those are not strategies that say, no growth, stay stuck. They're really the opposite. It's always surprising to me how my capacity to be kinder to myself translates almost immediately into being a less reactive person with other people, to being kinder to other people, to being less quick to judge other people. When I can say, I am enough just as I am, it's much more likely that I can say, and you too are enough just as you are, and to really mean it. Right. When we talk about these mindfulness practices, then I really want to go back to what we've talked about before, which is this quote from Rodney Smith, right, that the Buddha, or I would say peace, is found not only in special environments or practices, but within all activities, reactions, thought, and emotional responses right where you are. So we have the ability when we are, it doesn't matter where we are when we notice these voices. It doesn't really matter how difficult or unrelenting or unkind those voices are being. It doesn't have to be the most dramatic example of this, of incredible self-unkindness and meanness. It can be kind of ordinary, you know, just me chopping an apple and realizing that I'm criticizing myself for not doing it as my brothers would do it, right? So whether it's small and ordinary or large and dramatic, both are opportunities to stop, to notice that those voices are present, to notice the impact that those voices are having on me physically, the tension that they're creating, and the way that they are undermining kind of positive self-regard and positive energy and self-compassion, to notice them, to let go of them, and in letting go of them, returning back to my body, right? Climbing back into my body, asking myself, how can I be more at ease in this moment? You know, when I'm working with a very sharp knife, it makes sense that I should be as kind to myself as humanly possible, right? I say that kind of jokingly, but kind of not. But think about, you know, the tension I would bring to my hands if I am thinking really negative thoughts about myself in that moment, right? I am more likely probably to slip. I am more likely perhaps to be careless because I'm distracted by that negative self-talk. So if we think about the course of our days, the ways in which that kind of negativity about ourselves accumulates in ways small and large, think of all the energy we put into that. What would we do with that energy? How much more at ease would we be in our day if that energy was not directed in that negative way? But if we could treat ourselves with a greater degree of loving kindness, even in stressful moments. So I have some very concrete ideas about enhancing our capacity for this mindfulness. When we come back, we're going to take a break right now. You're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I hope you'll join me after the break.
Are you ready for a holistic healing revolution? Subscribe to Burn Bright Today podcast with Jennifer Marcinelli on Transformation Talk Radio. Healing is about self-care and seeking help when you need it. The best investment you can make is in yourself and your body, mind, and spirit. One step at a time, you can burn bright and live a life you dream. For more information on how to heal from home, visit burnbrighttoday.com.
Howdy, friends. This is Terry J. Walker with the I Am Power Hour, and this is your soul-stretching success tip of the day. As you know, we are the creators of our own reality. During our journey, we will write our own life story and create our own personal resume. We all have been provided the freedom to choose what we want, choose how we feel, and choose how we respond to events and circumstances. This brings an inspirational quote to mind. If you can dream it, you can do it. Mr. Walt Disney. I hope you have a wonderful day filled with love, light, creativity, and of course, your freedom of choice. Namaste, my beautiful friends, and I'll see you next time.
Hi, this is Brittany Miles from Miles to Go, How to Lose to Gain It All. Please join me at the Ultimate Business Summit with 20 top influencers, including me, starting 9/21 through 9/30, absolutely free. Learn how to be a go-giver while you create and grow a wildly successful online business and make a killer living without killing the environment. Reserve today at www.theultimatewomensbusinesssummit.com. See you soon.
Message Delivery by Lisa Ann. You can't make this stuff up. Tune in every first and third Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Message Delivery is an inspirational show about the journey to enlightenment and spirituality. For more information or your own personal message delivery, visit AngelMessagesToYou.com. That's Angel Messages, the number two, the letter U.com.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, And today we're talking about specific aspect of mindfulness, which is recognizing the voices that all of us have internalized over the course of our life, that kind of relentless self-talk that can often be very undermining. It might be the voice of constant criticism, it might be the voice of a kind of very childlike neediness, and those voices are often at war with each other because they're kind of a really great couple, right? The child says, "I just want a nap," and the critical voice says, "You lazy pig," right? So they're a great pair, but they're not a very helpful pair to us, and they're not there's not liberation or freedom at the end of those voices controlling our life. So we were talking about how to discern those voices from legitimate self-inquiry and self-improvement. And it's really about noticing how the voices talk to us. Are they evidence-based in their comments? Are they kind in their comments? Are they loving in their tone? Or are they freaked out? Are they angry? Are they judgmental? Are they unrelenting and unsatisfiable? That's a really good indication of which realm you're in. And we're talking about how do we, then in this last segment, how do we improve our capacity to be able to discern those voices? And really, it goes back to, I think, some of the foundational mindfulness practices that may not be an immediate sense of, well, how do I notice those voices? But really, how do I bring greater calm into my life? So there's a breathing exercise that I learned from watching Dr. Andrew Weil, who's an integrated medicine specialist, and go to his website. And he has great breathing exercises to think about. This first one, this one I'm going to mention today, I have found very helpful. I start each of my sessions actually with clients by using this breathing exercise. This is the one I'm more likely to do sort of in the middle of the night when I can't go back to sleep. But like three deep breaths, it's very helpful. It's very calming, and it really shifts me from right my mind going in 100 places to being right here in the moment. And it's cleverly called 478. So I don't know that I don't think he necessarily invented it or claims to have invented it, but he teaches it very nicely on his website. So I just want to run through it with you today and ask you to think about it and maybe go to his website and see him perform it, because you get a sense of how quickly to go through it. The three breaths that we do at the beginning of the show, that's about 20 seconds. This one, 478, it's about a minute. And again, it's about asking yourself, will I give myself permission? Can I be kind enough to myself to do a breathing exercise once or twice a day or before what I know will be just a new situation, not necessarily a stressful one, but just a new one. So 478 is, first of all, putting your tongue on that spot behind your front teeth. And I always take a big exhalation out when I do that. And then inhaling for 4 counts, holding it for 7 counts, and then releasing it for 8 counts. So just a couple of things I've noticed about that. It means that in that 4 count, I want to breathe in enough that I have breath for 8 counts out. You can, over time, make the holding longer or the exhalation longer, but 478 is a great place to start and to do it 4 times in a row. So I'm just going to do it once for you to show you, and you might want to breathe along with me if you want, just to get the hang of it. So 478. Right. 4 in, hold for 7, exhale for 8. It really helps. It is very powerful, I have found. A second thing, and I've been reading, as I've mentioned before, Ruth King's book, Mindful of Race, and she has a section on meditation practices, and one of the meditation practices she talks about is a walking meditation. And it's a very important and powerful contemplative practice. And in a walking meditation, it's the purpose is to do the walking meditation. The purpose is not to go someplace at the other side of it. So it's, in her case, she talks about 15 steps in one direction, a very conscientious, focused on what's present in my body, turning, and then 15 steps in another direction, in the other direction. And to do this for about 15 minutes. And I think, really, honestly, as I just described it, I think, wouldn't that be powerful? I have not found a space. My house is kind of small, and so is my yard. So I haven't found those 15 to 20 steps yet, but I'm trying to find the spot where it's not, I don't know, maybe I could walk in a circle, but I like her description of walking in one direction, turning, and then walking in the other direction. But I'm also adapting the practice because I do walk every morning. And in that practice, I'm with my partner, so I'm not alone, so it's not a meditative practice. But there is a point in the walk where we're walking uphill where we're not talking, because frankly, I can't walk uphill and talk at the same time and breathe, all three things. That's way too much. So I try to, in that moment, I wouldn't call it a meditative or a contemplative practice, but it is, I try to bring a quality of mindfulness to it. And that means really just being present and noticing my breath, which is a little huffy puffy, noticing my immediate surroundings, not making a to-do list, not rehearsing conversations, not thinking about something that might go wrong later in the day, none of that, but simply being aware of my surroundings, being aware of my breath. And then the thing that I think has been really helpful and that Ruth King talks about in the walking meditation, I pay attention to my feet. I really pay attention to my feet. And, you know, my goal when I'm walking uphill is to be steady and to even in my steps. And so that when I get to the various crests of the hill, I'm not out of breath. I don't have to stop. And that's improved quite a bit as I've continued walking. But paying attention to my feet has really made a difference in this regard. I don't know if you do yoga, you've heard this idea that, you know, the feet have four points. I never really thought of my feet that way. So what King really talks about is that idea of when I pay attention to my feet, what I'm paying attention to is my foot hitting the ground and all four points of my foot making contact with the earth, right? And raising up the, you know, doing it so that I'm aware of one foot hitting the ground in order for the other foot then to raise up in the back. But just paying attention to my feet and then allowing them to be flat on the ground at each point for all four points of my foot to hit the ground. It takes a lot of effort to do that, because kind of mindless walking, the way I just walk without thinking about walking, my feet kind of tense up a little bit. And I think it's kind of funny, but I've noticed that when I do this, my hands, you can see it when I describe it to you, but my hands always spread out. If I really pay attention to my feet on the ground and my toes spread and all four points of my foot hitting, coming in contact with the earth, I really have to spread my hands out in order to do, I don't know why. My body just works that way. So that's some concrete ideas that you might use in bringing a greater awareness and building a capacity for presence, for mindfulness, so that you can notice those voices. You can notice the impact those voices are having on you. You can discern the critical, needy voice from the genuine voice of self-inquiry, so that you can live in a more peaceful life and bring more peace into the world when you do that. If you'd like to have more conversations like this with me one-on-one, if you find that helpful, you can reach out to me at maryangelamaguire@gmail.com. You can go to my website, Maguire Life Coach. I'd love to talk to you about this so that you too can bring more peace into your life. I hope you'll join me next Thursday at noon Pacific time and 3 p.m. Eastern. Let's talk about mindful practices we can employ during the week of the election. Right? So next Thursday is the few days before the election. Regardless of what your politics are, you might be a little bit tensing up about it. How do we stay present? How do we stay calm, awake, and aware through that, the days leading up to and the days after the election? I don't think we'll know the answer to the election by the end of the day on Tuesday. So I think it's worthwhile not to worry, but to plan, to prepare, to put ourselves in a place of peace as we anticipate maybe not having quick answers at the end of the election. So until then, please be curious about your mind and please be kind to yourself. And I hope you'll join me next week on Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio.
You've been listening to Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Maryangela Maguire on Transformation Talk Radio. Join me next time as we continue to practice mindfulness and challenge ourselves to change. If you'd like to find out more about my work or contact me, please go to my website, McGuireLifeCoach.com. That's McGuireLifeCoach.com. See you next time.
The music for Nothing But Now was created by Salt Theory.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.